Welcome to The Back Pocket, your wildly average podcast.
Podcast 5, special one here today. We got a round table discussion here in Charlotte at the Marriott Courtyard.
First time in history, just big time stuff. We got both our first and second string producer on tap here, Mark and Steve. And then we have a special, very special guest on with us.
Special.
Jack Doomer. You could have heard him on podcast, was it three?
Podcast 2.
Podcast 2, where he called in and made fun of Connor Johannes. Big time stuff. So we got 5 people in the room. Sprang bright.
Sprang bright.
Sprang bright. Sprang bright.
We're taking it on the road. It's going to be special.
Yep.
Hey, Jack, real quick, could you introduce yourself, give our listeners a little background, and maybe an average quality of yours?
Sure. Hey guys, my name's Jack. Favorite type of gum, probably Trident. Last name Doomer, born and raised in Edina, suburb boy. You know, came over to St. Thomas because I wanted a ball, play some football with the boys, and do some engineering. So engineering student here. Other than that, love music.
What makes you average?
Yeah, what makes you average?
Probably average quality is I use wooden pencils all the time. That's just average.
Well, thank you, Jack. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, glad to have you here today.
Appreciate both of you guys.
We're going to begin the podcast how we always do, average quality of Deck and I, because we are continuing to promote how wildly average we are. This is more of how the group discussion is, wildly average.
This is the round table average quality.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We had 8 classes collectively to attend this past Friday, and between the 5 of us, we only attended 1 class.
1 for 8, which is 12.5% for all you guys doing.
So that's about average.
Out there. Yeah, it's pretty even keel. I think if you're looking at...
It was definitely you.
I did go to class today. Definitely I went to one of my three classes today. I had three, and I went to one.
You're a good boy, similar to Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good boy.
I'm a good boy. We're kind of... In the scope of all of us, though, we're bad boys. And sorry to all of our professors who did not see our faces on Friday.
Yeah, we apologize.
And I think they understand more than most people do, though, so it's okay.
We're attending Aruba. Deck, would you like to
attending on? To class.
Yep.
This is the class we are attending, Aruba. Going to there for spring break. It's just going to be a blast. The round table, the boys are taking their talents to Aruba. We're just going to be gas and brews.
Chuck and Knox,
hanging out on the beach, getting tan. And Mark, you had a pretty good story about that because you're getting your hair cut, getting cleaned up, freshened up for our trip. What do you got?
Yeah, this is a great story. Definitely got me jazzed up about the trip. Getting my hair cut, just getting everything cleaned up.
Where at? Where do you go?
This was at Fellas.
Fellas,
great, if you're listening. Great barbershop right on St. Clair. Definitely check it out. But, so I'm sitting there getting my hair cut, and my barber was super interested about our spring break trip. So he asked me what we're doing, and I said I'm heading out to Aruba with my family and four of my best friends. And he goes, and he's passionate about this. He says, this is how he sounded. Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And he goes, yeah, drinking, chasing tail, that's what it's all about. And I was like,
yeah, man.
Most definitely. Exactly.
Trying to get a haircut, man.
And,
I just wanted to clean up.
just fell out. Really adamant about chasing tail. And he says, so your parents are going to be there? I was like, yep. And he's like, dude. He's like, are they going to be cool with you guys throwing them back all day? And I was like, I hope so. And I'm hoping that they're going to be joining us. He's like, oh, yeah, dude. That's what I'm talking about.
Fellas.
And I was like, this guy's out of control. And then he starts telling me about his own stories. He's like, my buddies and I, dude, we used to just get hammered and chase tail on spring breaks. Oh, it was the best. I'm so jealous. I bet. I can only imagine.
So it's our duty.
And then he starts talking about this cruise that he just went on. And he's like, you guys doing all-inclusive? You gotta do all-inclusive. It's not even an option. He's like, my buddies and I, we were on a cruise. Get the bill. It's like $3,000 just on booze alone. You kidding me? You guys gotta do all-inclusive. And I was like, I don't think it's all-inclusive. But I'll let you know. I'm excited for him. The guy was a great guy. He gave me a great cleanup, and I loved his energy.
Recommend going to Fellas?
Recommend going to
Fellas. Highly recommend it.
So I guess it's our duty to throw it back and chase and tail.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
Do it for the guy at Fellas.
So trapping the puck here. Thank you for that story, Mark. That was fantastic. We're going to Aruba, and we really don't know all too much about it. We have done our research, but from our research, you can really only pick up stereotypes. You really can't pick up the raw experiences of the land. So I say we go around and name a few stereotypes, kind of what we found, did some digging all individually. So maybe we can go around and say a few.
Okay, I can start.
Okay.
So Aruba, just north of Venezuela, pretty close to the equator. I'm going to say the people there are probably pretty tan.
Okay.
That's
good.
That's very solid. Nice. Definitely.
Good one.
Logic. So I did a little research and saw that I actually Googled, does Aruba have flamingos? And I found out that there's a beach called Flamingo Beach. There's a lot of like photos of flamingos on there. And I like have a stereotype, like I'm picturing everybody like overhyping this flamingo beach there. And you go to the beach.
And they're all plastic.
Yeah, it's plastic. They're like
plastic flamingos. Beach. Like your mom's backyard in the garden.
So I just like see people like overhyping it like, hey, see you at Flamingo Beach. And it's just like total bogus.
I can totally see that. Dovetailing off that with the animals, I did some research and I saw there were some iguanas. And I think iguanas and I think us and how
rock hard abs.
We're rock hard abs. However, I also think about my experience in Greece where they had just stray dogs everywhere and you can pet them. So I'm really looking forward to maybe getting my hands on an iguana.
Take it back as a pet?
Well, maybe not take it back, but at least name one.
Customs.
Call.
We'll be fine with it.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. Steve, what do you got?
So I was at work at good old Tiffany's Lounge on Thursday talking with my manager beforehand. Actually, the manager's son. And I told him about my trip, going to Aruba, and he had some interesting info for me.
Okay.
And he said, we were talking about, like, girls, and he was like...
Chase and tail.
Yeah, chase and tail. And he concluded that the nationality of Arubans is just, like, everything combined. So they're Asian,
Arubans.
African-American.
Oh, so the melting pot Caucasian. Island.
Yeah.
They're, like, everything combined.
Yeah. Mm.
So that's...
Well, that'll be fun because... The first day, we get there tomorrow, and we also did our research, and we saw that tomorrow's their Independence Day.
So from the Netherlands.
From the Netherlands, so we're getting all jacked up for that. We'll let you guys know how it goes. Mark, you got one?
You know, I don't really. Only because...
I'm
fortunate enough to have been there before.
So don't spoil it for us.
Yeah, I won't spoil it.
Okay.
Get excited. Get excited.
Love it.
We are excited.
This traveling of the round table throughout the next week or so, we're going to be doing a lot of situational podcasting, and we're going to drop in a couple, you're going to hear some different audio, let's just say that.
Yeah.
They might not be the best audio because we don't know where we're going to be, and we're going to just try to record.
Exactly, you brought up a great point. We're just going to be in a lot of different situations, a lot of different adversities going to be thrown at us, and it's really just our job to document those moments, kind of fully immerse ourselves in whatever we're doing.
So with the situational podcasting, we're going to transition over now to our first
situation.
Welcome to our first situational podcast. Me, AI, and second string producer Mark are sitting in here, row 21 on our flight to Aruba.
What seat are you in, Dick? 21?
I'm on 21. I'm a D, I think. I'm a D.
21E in the middle, and
yep.
We got Mark in 21F.
F. It's a window seat. Great news, just hit the intercom. We just flew over the Bermuda Triangle. Do you know what the Bermuda Triangle is?
I know people get lost in the Bermuda Triangle constantly.
Is that where the Somalian pirates are?
No.
I think if there are pirates in the Bermuda Triangle, that makes sense.
I think it'd probably be like Captain Jack Sparrow.
Okay. We'll have someone fact check us on the Bermuda Triangle. And we'll do some recon and figure that out. But we're here. Happy. It kind of sounds like we're in a spaceship. That's cool.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, I kind of like it a lot. We can do a little captain talk.
Both Declan and I keep, like, jerking our jaws to pop our ears.
Yep.
Because how high are we? we're about 50,000 nautical miles in the air right now. The temperature's roughly around -50 degrees Celsius.
How fast do you think we're going, Captain Deck?
We're about going 550 nautical miles per the hour. Over
an hour.
Oh, another cool thing, though, that I want our listeners to know, a little fun fact that I mentioned, it's negative 50 degrees Celsius. Negative 40 degrees Celsius and negative 40 degrees Fahrenheit are the same temperature.
Ooh, interesting.
So just wanted to let you guys know on that with regards to how cold it is. And jet engines are also much more efficient in much colder temperatures. So right now our miles per gallon is just cooking. We're doing well. We're not going to run out of fuel anytime soon, I don't think.
Fantastic. I am a Global Entry member, and so I get DHA pre-check.
Not to brag.
Every time. Not to brag. But I checked everyone in, and this meant everyone else got TSA pre-check. So we all got to go through security relatively quickly. But Declan, tell them what happened to you.
My whole life, I've gone through TSA and had no problems. And these past two times that I've been with the boys on this trip, gone through TSA, I've just had an absolute war and an absolute battle with TSA.
Yeah, they're coming after you all your belongings.
Yep, so they took all my toiletries, my Barbasol, my toothpaste, I think I had face wash too. Took them all because they were all over 3.4 ounces. And I knew that going in. I really did. I knew that going in. However, I just thought I was going to check my bag. And then I saw that it cost $25 to check a bag. It's not Southwest. I'm a Southwest guy, not an American guy.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I just totally forgot. Didn't think about it. So they got me there. And then today, going through TSA pre-check, my bag got messed up because they flagged my bag because of my water. I forgot to drink all my water. From the previous night, I had about, I'd say roughly a quarter left.
They so flagged 8 ounces.
Yep, they did a little pH test. They saw his water, and the pH of water is 7. Sure, that's what it was. They made me go all the way back through, and it's just brutal. However, we're here, and we're thriving now.
Hey, and I consider us wizards in the airport. Declan and I have also performed some other fantastic.
Your family is just big airport guys.
Sure, I've been given advice. With that being said, we don't check our bags when you're supposed to because that costs $25.
Yeah, maybe we give our listeners a tip.
Yeah, here's a tip. Don't check your bags when you're supposed to. Bring them to the gate, and then the flight attendant will come on the intercom and say, we're going to check roughly 10 to 15 bags.
Overhead space. We don't have enough overhead space. It's like, you think? No overhead space?
Yeah. Sure. So I'll go ahead and check my bag for free.
Yeah. So, and they always say courtesy. When they say courtesy, that means it's free. I didn't know that initially.
Yep.
So that's good.
It's a courtesy route.
Yep. So that's cool.
There's your tip.
We'd also say another thing that's kind of cool on airplanes is the space. Pretty crammed in here.
Yeah.
That's it. Just to give you a
know
visual.
Your fellow passengers. Yep.
So plane activities. Maybe we get into that. What
plane
do you do? What do you do on the plane?
You grab your SkyMall magazine. See if the person before you has filled out the Sudoku or crossword. Most likely they have, so you can't do those.
Okay. I didn't even think about that. That's a good one. I always look through the SkyMall magazine and just look through a bunch of the inventions that I never thought of that I should have, and maybe I could be making a few bucks off of.
Okay.
There's always just some random stuff. Like, I saw a 3D printing pen. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, there's always that RTD2, like $2,000. Life-size
R2-D2.
Yeah. No,
we don't. I don't think. Yeah. Are there things that people buy on SkyMall? Like, how do you? I never understood that. So you get magazines with things in them, and they have them to buy. But like, how do you just be like, oh yeah, I want that, and then what's the transition? Do you go online to buy it?
I don't think you can click on the magazine.
You can't click on the magazine. No. So I don't. I think magazines are dying.
Another fun fact is Doomer gets queasy on planes.
Yep.
And we give him the bag in the little seat. Right away, immediately.
So, unlike yesterday Doomer had Earl sitting next to him. Earl was the feel-good story of the week. God bless Earl. However, this week, Doomer's got
The next flight.
Oh, yeah. The next day, Doomer has another lady, has a nice lady sitting next to him. It was very nice. She
Doomer looks really all bundled up, just kind of plenty of room.
Hey everyone, my name's Jack Doomer. This may sound loud, but I just want to let everyone know that I love everyone. You guys are beautiful. Thank you for listening. I love our marketing interns. That's all.
Hey, this is Steve, your first string producer. Just gotta want to let you know that we're so proud of all of you for sticking with us, and we appreciate the feedback. You guys are all of our interns, and we couldn't thank you enough. Especially on this situational podcast, it's something else, and it's an honor.
There's a guy trying to get through.
Sorry. I think the audio quality is a lot better when you hold it close to your face.
Is it really better?
A lot better.
Oh. Well, what do we do with that? Do we just hold it the whole time then?
I don't know. I kind of like it. This is fun though.
Sure. Let's see if our first string producer, who is currently watching War Dogs, has anything to say.
Yeah.
Second string. Do you have anything to say?
How's the movie?
I'm sorry, what?
How's the movie, man?
It's a really good movie. I'm really enjoying it. How's the podcast going?
Situational podcast is a go.
Yeah, good, good. Well, hopefully the audio sounds good. I know it's been a little bit of a bumpy ride here.
Turbulence.
Yeah, got a lot of nonsense going on in the cabin, but happy to be here.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a great trip.
Thank you, thanks. Second string producer, Mark Amy.
We just called our flight attendant over. It's her birthday. Jeanette, right? Jeanette?
What's the flight attendant's name?
Flight attendant's name's Jeanette, right? Either way, it's Jeanette's birthday. We're gonna tell her happy birthday. We called her over here.
I think it's a guess.
Oh, hey, we just wanted to wish you happy birthday.
No, it's her up front.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
But thanks.
Yeah, no problem, man. Right on. Can you bring Jeanette up? We wanted to say happy birthday.
It's okay.
All right.
On the way up, so
appreciate it.
Okay.
Her name's
Jess.
Jess.
Jess. Okay.
She's turning 21 again.
Wow. That's awesome. All right. Take care.
That was our first ever situational podcast. Audio quality, hit or miss, we don't know. We're learning on the fly. So we're going to segment over here now towards our guest. We got a special guest today. Today we have an associate professor of neuroscience and psychology at the University of St. Thomas. She's an award-winning researcher, speaker, and author, and she has spent the last 10 years studying how college students sleep. We welcome Dr. Roxanne Pritchard to the show.
Welcome. Thank you. It's exciting to be here.
That's awesome. Fun stuff. You go first question for you?
Sure. So to inform our listeners more, we would love to get to know more about you, and we can help our listeners know a little bit more about your background.
Sure. Let's see. Which background? Like way back or
yeah,
scholastic?
Yeah, we can go back as far as
okay.
You feel appropriate.
All right. Well, I was born in the 70s, which
okay,
ages
nice.
Me, on a farm in Texas. My parents are both scientists. My mom's a veterinarian. My dad was a physicist. I grew up kind of really interested in animals and just, like, the physical world. And I noticed, like, sleep patterns early on, like, when, this sounds gross, but when the rats would be in the barn, when's the best time to get eggs, when the rats aren't awake, kind of looking at different animal sleep patterns. I went to college at a small liberal arts college in Kentucky, Transylvania, which is fun to say.
Wow.
Yeah. Not many people can say they're from Transylvania University, but I can. And
what was the mascot?
The Pioneers.
Ooh.
The
Pioneers.
Yep.
I would have thinking vampire.
That would make more sense. Yep.
That's all right.
And then Madison for grad school.
Okay.
Where I met my two mentors who inspired me to get involved in sleep research.
That's very awesome. Cool. So, like, was there, for, like, your sleep research, you pointed to, like, your significant, like, how you got turned on to the whole sleep research thing? Was there, like, some sort of epiphany moment that you were like, oh, I'm for sure going to be a sleep person?
Everybody loves to talk about sleep, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super accessible. So I've noticed, like, you have conversational blocks sometimes when my sister's a hydrologist and you're like, oh, okay.
What is that?
Great.
Yeah.
And then that's the end.
Yeah.
Or sometimes if they're like, oh, I'm an epidemiologist, okay. But if you say, oh, I study sleep, nobody has ever said, oh, that's kind of boring.
Right.
Everybody
so
sleeps.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has issues and questions about their sleep. And it's in a single behavior, the most important one that we do for our life and health. So It seemed to me like an endless. It seems like striking while the moment is right, hot, iron hot, right?
Sure.
Strike we'll while that. The iron is hot.
Yes, strike. Yeah.
In that sleep is a relatively new field, in terms of our understanding of what it's for, what the brain is doing during sleep, why we need sleep, why it's so important to have different kinds of sleep. So I feel like I'm in the right place at the right time, and students are getting worse and worse sleep with every new iPhone and every technology, better everything. Broadband technology. Mm-hmm. Sleep is getting worse.
Okay, so dovetailing off that, just sleep in general. So just for our listeners, could you kind of give us like an overview of like what's expected or what your expectations are maybe of for sleep, like how many hours do we need?
Oh,
what,
sure.
How we get to sleep, you know, that yep. whole kind of process. Yep.
I could talk about that all day. All right, but I'll awesome. Give you a short version.
Cool.
Sleep is like food, water, air. You need it to live, and you need enough to thrive. And your body will tell you how much sleep you need because you will go to sleep, and then you will sleep until you're done sleeping, and then wake up. So that's how much sleep you need. For most people who are well, so if you're recovering from a concussion or you're ill or any other number of things, you might need more sleep than usual. But most people need between 7 and 9 hours of sleep, and you will just naturally know when you need to wake up because you will have woken up.
So okay. that points to no alarm clock then?
Yep, no alarm clock. I recommend no alarm clock. Or if you need an alarm clock, one of those alarm clocks that can help you wake up when you're in REM sleep. So sort of a gradual waking up. So there's a couple apps that do that for you.
Okay.
But in general, I want sleep to be consistent and that you're going to bed and waking up at the same time every day within, say, no more variability than an hour. Sufficient, enough sleep that you feel rested when you wake up. And the third part is restorative, that it's good quality sleep, that you're not being woken up by external or internal stimuli.
Okay. So we do our research here at the back pocket, and we know that you're supposed to have at least 8 hours of sleep per night.
7 to 9.
Seven to nine.
Would be okay. the average.
Okay, sure.
go you. Math, go.
And that's what we are. We're average, so
we're
we tend to get
guys,
8 hours.
So we're going
to
go and plug 8.
But say on our natural regimen, we get 6, and we wake up, for instance, we go to bed at midnight, and we wake up at 6 without an alarm clock. Do we go back to bed for 2 hours, or do you just wake up because you have woken up?
Oh, so if you naturally wake up, that is a good
hours.
Question.
Yeah.
And then when you wake up, do you feel like I'm fully alert? I'm ready to take the
that
day.
That never happens.
No.
So.
Okay, there's your answer. There's your answer. As you age, you'll find that it's harder to go back to sleep. So if you're tired, so if you wake up at 6 and you're like, get back to sleep.
Okay.
It's natural to wake up like 5-6 times a night.
Yeah. Wow. So. Okay. That's good to know. So maybe on the front end of that, going to sleep, in this day and age, one thing that I've noticed is, primetime events, things that go later in the night.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, like watching the NCAA championship Villanova buzzer beater against, UNC, if you're familiar with that historical moment, that was probably at 11 o'clock. For me, I had to wake up the next morning for lifting at about 6 o'clock. Doing my math there, I definitely did not get my 8 hours. So
right.
I would say that is a common issue in today's culture. How do we compensate with something like that? Like, where we need, like, do we have to, like, is... Because a lot of times we can't make sacrifices. So,
right.
like, how do we compensate for the lack of sleep, maybe, is my question.
So you can't make a sacrifice to lift later in the day?
If that's like football, we have 6:30.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't. Not most of the time. No, just because I have a busy schedule. Just
okay.
for me, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
I have to. I have stuff till like 11, or I'm studying till 10:30, 11. Then I have to be at lifting at 6. So like, what do you do then?
I would push things either later or earlier, so you
so
get enough
sleep.
Sleep
trumps.
Sleep trumps. So that brings me to my next question. College students,
mm-hmm.
as we are, as all of us are, we sometimes partake in extracurricular activities during the night
mm-hmm.
that force us to stay up to...
It forces you?
Particularly Thursday through Saturday.
Yeah.
Are we talking about alcohol ones?
Those are probably when we're
alcohol
out.
And...
Okay,
drugs
let me talk about
listeners.
Alcohol and let me talk about some other drugs.
Okay. Please do.
So, all right, I want to show you, maybe...
Yeah, no. Well, you can show us, and
no,
then
no,
our
you
reactions
can take a picture.
Will,
Okay. I'm teaching a senior neuroscience capstone right now in sleep, and then just in the lab down the hall, they've drawn out all the circuits, the brain circuits that I want to talk about. So I bet you could take a picture of it and show your listeners.
Of course.
How cool. I mean, show listeners if they happen to go to the website. Anyway, sleep is a very difficult thing to do well for the brain, and it needs to balance just a few neurotransmitters, including GABA, glutamate, dopamine, norepinephrine, serotonin, histamine, adenosine, cortisol, prostaglandin. There's like 20 of them that it's a really careful balance of. There's no drug that we take for fun that doesn't mess with that in some ways. And some of the drugs that we do regularly really negatively impact sleep. Alcohol is a big one. Probably we'll start with the most common one. What alcohol does is it binds to the brain's GABA receptors, which are inhibitory neurons. So when we have alcohol, it's like getting a double dose of inhibition, and it makes our brain, after we get past the giddy part, feel like it's easier to fall asleep. But I'm going to put sleep in air quotes here because it's not actually sleep if you're going to bed drunk. It's more like self-induced anesthesia, right? Oh. So the problem with that is your brain can't have good REM sleep when you are inhibited with alcohol, because REM sleep takes a lot of excitatory neurotransmitters. So you're kind of getting your excitatory inhibitory balance all off. The upshot of that is that the sleep that you have when you go to bed with alcohol in your system is low quality sleep that doesn't have REM. So if you say drink on Thirsty Thursday and Friday, maybe Saturday, three nights in a row, that's three nights of REM deprivation, which means Sunday night you're going to have rebound REM, which is characterized by just non-restful sleep where you have nightmares and really vivid dreams waking you up early and often.
Okay.
So that's the deal with alcohol, which is why, should I go on record on saying this? I guess I will. Best time to drink would be happy hour. And not so much, so it's out of your system by the time you go to bed.
Okay.
That's awesome. Thank you.
You're probably partaking
in happy hour. Yeah, we're actually going to happy hour.
That's what I'm doing, too,
right
actually.
Yeah.
Glad. Where are you going?
Stewart's. Right across the street.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just open. Taking advantage of some nice happy hour deals.
Yes.
Good.
So you mentioned alcohol. Maybe in going more into, like, the drugs route, first things that come to mind would be marijuana, sleep narcotics like melatonin
is just a hormone.
Okay, so that's not one. But then, so like Advil
or something.
Tylenol
PM.
Tylenol PM. Okay. Like stuff like the sleeping pills.
Yeah, we'll talk about those.
Okay.
All right, so first one was pot. So what we're finding with our research is a lot of students who smoke pot are night people that can't get to sleep.
Okay.
And they're just like, half of them smoke pot just to get to sleep.
Okay.
Which is kind of problematic. One, because we're asking night people to work on a day schedule for school. That's an issue in and of itself. And another thing is marijuana is a super complicated drug. Like, as the more we're understanding with neuroscience, the more we're realizing what a really interesting effect it has on neurotransmitters. So by giving doses of marijuana, you're tricking your brain into thinking you're having extra endocannabinoids. And those, you know how I said alcohol tweaks GABA?
Okay.
Marijuana tweaks all of it, basically. It's like the super, it modulates release of so many other neurotransmitters.
In like a negative way, would you say? Or is it just kind of
On the person, depends on the time.
Really?
But most people with repeated exposure to marijuana don't have best outcomes in terms of memory. And in worst case, it actually increases your risk of psychosis. So I would recommend that if you're using marijuana to get to sleep, you should probably talk to a physician about a better way to get to sleep, because it's not like a long-term drug.
Okay, cool.
And then Tylenol PM, those
So all those, usually those, like, there's no real good drug for getting to sleep. Those are often just antihistamines, which is taking advantage of stopping histamine, which is one of your allergy responses that helps wake you up. So, or just being like alcohol.
Okay.
So like the cough syrup and stuff.
Okay.
So I don't think any of them are good.
Natural sleep is the best kind of sleep.
It is.
Okay. So we're going to go back to your graduate days at Madison and learn more about that.
Oh, boy.
Do you, at Madison, you were studying sleep.
Yes.
And or do you feel like you were backing up what you were studying? Do you think you got
your 8 hours?
The more knowledge I got, the more I backed it up. So I'd say at the beginning of grad school, before I learned a lot about sleep, I was not backing that up. Okay. For example, my friend and I were going to Spain for like a vacation for running of the bulls, and we thought we would just save money by not having a hotel.
Hostels or?
I mean, no, we stayed in hostels, but on night we're like, oh, we'll just take an overnight ferry and sleep on the beach, like if we're going to Ibiza or something.
Oh, okay. Wow. Right? You went to Ibiza?
We went to Mallorca.
Okay.
But I said Ibiza because I thought more people would recognize it.
Okay.
That works.
So, anyway, we'd stayed up a lot, not getting much sleep, and then we were on the overnight ferry to Mallorca, and we fell asleep so hard that we could not be woken up. Like, the ferry had stopped, everybody had left, and we were still there, and we were so exhausted. One of the things that happens with prolonged sleep deprivation is your body drops temperature, and it slows your metabolism because it thinks you're being an idiot, and it wants to, like, just slow you down so you can get recovery sleep. So we're in July, in Mallorca, in our sweats and hoodies at the beach because we were that cold.
Wow.
Because we were that sleep deprived. Wow, so I haven't done anything that stupid. So by the end of grad school, I was regularly sleeping enough.
You were back on
that's
track.
Awesome.
Yep.
Well, glad to hear.
That's a great start. Learning. Mm-hmm.
When you started backing up, did you notice anything like, you know, in particular that was like, wow, like sleep really does help?
Yeah, like the payoff.
Yes. Okay. Prevention against illnesses. So I would get sick and cold all the time, susceptible even to like stomach viruses more when I was not sleeping regularly. And then once I started being like, all right, I'm going to bed when I'm tired, much healthier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And awesome. Happier, less stressed, I think. More able to withstand stress, too.
Okay. I just wanted to help one of my friends out. His name's Austin Lorch. He's all of our friends.
Yes.
Or our friend.
Mm-hmm.
Lorch does not get sleep.
Oh, Lorch.
Lorch.
Yeah.
So.
Lorch, are you listening?
Yeah.
Lorch is listening. So, Lorch probably, he's a studier. When
okay.
I say studier, the man studies.
What's his major?
He's an engineer like
okay.
myself. And also a football player. He just really doesn't go to sleep. He probably goes to sleep around midnight, and he sleeps in the attic of a house and says he wakes up every once in a while because there's rats in the house.
Oh, they're loud.
That run through and, yeah. So,
super loud.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any suggestions for our friend Austin Lorch?
Well, he's going to bed at a reasonable hour. What time does he wake up?
He gets up with us at 6.
Yeah.
He probably gets up at 5:30 earlier because he wants to get breakfast and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
So he's going to bed at 5. At midnight. So he's getting 5 or 6 hours of sleep.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. How have you noticed anything where you think your sleep deprivation is really showing up in this variable?
Sometimes he shows up to class late and has bedhead.
Okay, but, all right. I mean, most
he's
people need...
He's a little
need...
quiet. I don't think that's a problem, though.
Yeah.
Well, some people... does he need an alarm clock to wake up?
Yes.
Or I guess if you have the rats.
Ooh, he probably really... wakes up with the rats.
But rats are nocturnal.
So he never sleeps.
Does he fall asleep on the bus or anything? Is he always like...
Ugh. Lorch falls asleep a lot on the couch.
Yeah.
Oh,
Lorch is
okay.
a couch sleeper.
He's mm-hmm. a couch sleeper.
Yeah.
Couch sleepers usually could... Their life could be improved with more sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So that we would say take the Epworth Sleepiness Scale to see how likely they are to just fall asleep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Lorch is also...
Situation,
I also forgot to mention, Lorch is... He likes to eat at night as well. He's a night eater.
He's a late
night eater.
He's a night person, though, it sounds like.
He's not.
He doesn't want to. I don't think he wants to be.
Oh, let me talk about night eating. All right.
Okay.
So
yeah, that's a good one.
One of the things that he's probably eating a lot at night because he's not getting enough sleep, and if you choose to stay up past when your body wants to go to bed, past the homeostatic drive to sleep,
mm-hmm.
your brain thinks you're doing something stupid and you need more calories to do that. So it thinks like, oh, it's an emergency, you need more food.
Yeah.
So it drops your leptin levels, increases your ghrelin levels, and all of a sudden you feel like you need 1,200 calories more, which is probably what's fueling the night eating.
Okay.
Is this a problem for him?
He's very skinny.
Okay.
No, he's not. He's
not very skinny. Sorry.
He's been putting on
weight. Not,
he's like 158, like, but he's also like 5 foot
8,
9%
body fat. You know?
Yeah.
All right. So at this point, he's not. I mean,
we should just help him get to bed earlier.
You should help him get to bed earlier.
Okay.
He'll probably be able to study more efficiently.
Okay.
What motivates Lorch in life?
What doesn't?
I mean, that's how you get people. Like, you figure out what would make them want to sacrifice the time to sleep more. Okay. If it's saying you'd be able to remember equations
incentive-based programming. To help Lord
Does he care about how much he can bench?
Okay. Well, we will.
Sure, he definitely does.
Okay. So
how much can he bench?
Like 200 pounds.
200 pounds.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, for his body weight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Steve, how much do you bench?
Okay, and moving on. So.
Yeah, we don't care.
Yeah, so next question. Thanks, okay. Steve.
So you mentioned dreams earlier.
Yes.
We would love to know more about dreams. One question that came to my mind was, why do we remember some of our dreams and why do we not remember others?
Softball, that's easy. Okay.
Okay.
We need to actually wake up to remember our dreams. So you need to have some little consciousness where you're like, oh, that was weird, and think about it, and that way you remember it. So, if you never remember your dreams, you are sleeping like a baby. Well, babies don't sleep well, but you're sleeping well through the night.
That makes me feel a lot better.
Yep.
Okay. I never remember
my dreams. And also, we should stop using the term sleeping like a baby. That sounds like you didn't like that term.
Yeah.
So well, I mean, I have a baby now, and I wish, they're good for me. No, she's a lovely, lovely human. She's exciting. Yes.
Another, do you have a dream question?
Dream question. Dream content, dream timing. What do you want to know about dreams?
DMT, what's that? You have DMT written down there.
The spirit molecule?
Doomer asked about that one.
Okay, I'll ask this.
The drug?
I'll ask if I know what this is. Yes. Like I know I'm talking about.
Okay.
Does DMT help with improving your dreams? Is it healthy to remember your dreams?
DMT is like a chemical that's found in a lot of hallucinogenic plants and so some people call it, like, I'm looking for a book over my shelf. It's called DMT, the spirit molecule. I don't see it right now. But okay.
Should we plug that book? Should we ask our listeners to read it?
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I mean, if you're interested in psychedelic drugs, you could read it.
Okay. Perfect. So for those of you who are into psychedelic drugs, listen to
DMT, the spirit molecule. But read it critically with a grain of salt and thinking about who's writing it and what. I recommend Arrowhead for those interested in drugs much more than that particular book.
Okay.
But would you...
But would I recommend taking hallucinogenic drugs to help your dreams?
Correct.
What are you trying to help with your dreams? Them to be weird and rememberable?
Maybe a creative process.
Or like a epiphany type dream, like where you learn your purpose in life.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Okay, so there are a lot of scientists, a lot of people that say, and some evidence that shows that dreams do help with insight and creative learning, and it makes sense physiologically because when we're dreaming, we get a lot more blood flowing to our creative emotional brain, our limbic system, and less to our prefrontal cortex, our left hemisphere, our logical, like this is the way you do things. So in sleep, you're still thinking about what you've learned in the day. You're thinking about day residue and the problems that you've been having, but you think about it in a new way because it's emotionally amped up but logically amped down. So often you get a little bit more creative or thinking out of the box through REM sleep.
Okay.
Okay.
That's interesting.
So it increases, like, the insight, like, oh, that's a better solution.
Okay.
Awesome. One quick question more about dreams.
Yeah.
I find myself dreaming vividly and realistically when I take your suggested 20-minute naps at recommended time in between the day.
Yeah.
And I was curious, why is that?
Are they just kind of boring dreams, like I'm doing my stuff?
Exactly. Yep. It feels like I'm not sleeping because those dreams are like I'm in my routine of the daily.
So you do, I'm not sure how much your listeners care about this, but people thought you only had dreams during REM sleep. You have dreams during non-REM sleep, too.
Okay.
But the difference is during non-REM sleep, your brain's slowed down, but it's not very creative. So it's like, I'm walking.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like, why am I dreaming about this?
Right. So that's all it can dream about because it's kind of... It's without its full EEG power, so it's pretty boring.
Okay.
But it could be I don't know, it could be a little interesting sometimes.
Okay. So I alluded to earlier how I don't really get 7 hours. I get probably 6 or 7 hours of sleep.
That's not enough.
Yeah, correct. Like I said,
we're making
not
changes.
Enough. And Lorch clearly doesn't. A lot of people do not get a lot of sleep. So my question would be, how different would this world be if everyone got their 8 hours?
Oh, wouldn't it be great? I'm considering how to answer this. I mean, it's almost a big economic question too.
Yeah.
Because so much of the world has shifted to being a 24-hour economy. So
correct.
Like 20% of our workforce has to do overnights or like work way, way, way into when we... So I would love to go back to a time when we, as just a culture, said it's okay that you can't buy pants at 3 a.m., right? I would love to go back to kind of acknowledging nighttime hours and taking back the power of, like, that creative time where you just focus on yourself and families and hang out and sleep well. I think if people got enough sleep, we would actually save a lot on healthcare because so many accidents are sleepiness related and so much... just workplace, it's called presenteeism. So when you're there, but really you're like, I'm kind of surfing around,
like
zoning out.
Or like when you're driving late at night.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you're doing that at work and you're just kind of mentally checking out, that happens more when you're sleep deprived. So it would be a more creative and more efficient workforce if we got enough sleep.
Okay. Cool. This one's kind of a maybe question. Can we use sleep to get the correct amount of hours, your 8 hours, to maybe oversleep and miss class? Is that an excuse?
Can we email our teachers and say, sorry, I was getting my 8 hours.
Sorry, I got 8 hours of sleep.
Or sorry, I don't use an alarm clock and my body was not ready to wake up.
So we're trying to make sure that doesn't happen. Like, I'm a part of an organization called Start School Later, particularly for high schools, so that they follow the recommendations from the American Medical Association and Pediatric Association and a lot of mental health associations and don't start before 8:30 so you don't have that physiological problem. So I am working at kind of like the macro level to be done with 7:30 and 8 o'clock classes so you have that being less of a need for an excuse. If a student is really tired and he or she emails me and is like, I just need more sleep, of course I'm going to say okay.
Okay.
Awesome.
But I think the more responsible thing would be, why weren't you in bed by 11?
So responsibility maybe would trump the...
I would say, is this a pattern or is this a one-time only thing? Okay. So I try to get to the bottom of it.
Agreed. That's a good point.
Cool.
Let's play a game?
Let's play a game.
All right. So we would like to invite you to a game of Would You Rather. Would you like to play?
That sounds great.
Awesome. So we're going to play this game of Would You Rather, and there's going to be a stipulation of you either can get 8 hours of sleep, or you can do an activity or something, blah, and you're not getting 8 hours. You're getting less. You're getting around four.
Okay. Is that for a day, a week, or my lifetime, or what?
Well, there's specific events for the most part.
So they're either going to be a day, a week, or a lifetime, depending on the question.
Okay.
So first question.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather get 8 hours of sleep or be a part of history and go to the moon, and you would only get 4 hours of sleep for 1 year?
8 hours.
Wow.
Clearly.
SpaceX is doing...
I would probably...
to the moon soon, so maybe...
kill myself in an accident if I only got 4 hours of sleep.
Okay. Elon Musk, if you're listening. Okay.
Okay.
Would you rather get maybe roughly average 5 to 6 hours of sleep a night, or would you want...
Which I want to just... interject and say that's an average. That's on the low end.
Mm. On the low end.
Mm-hmm.
On the low end, would you rather get 6 hours of sleep or win an NBA title?
What's the NBA?
The basketball, professional basketball.
The finals champ, like LeBron and Cleveland Cavaliers. Mm.
Sure.
The World Cup, soccer maybe?
Yeah, soccer.
Soccer. Okay.
Would you rather get 6 hours of sleep or win the World Cup for the United States?
Well, most of the players are getting 8 to 10 hours of sleep, so I think this is a false equivalency.
Okay. So that's not maybe the best question. We'll do a different question.
I'm not very good at this game.
No, I think we're not very good at this game.
they're usually the same thing.
This question might be decent. Would you rather get 8 hours of sleep 7 days in a row,
mm-hmm.
or have 72 degree weather here in St. Paul in middle of January? For a week, and you're getting roughly 6 hours of sleep instead.
So I just came back from this thing on climate change. I'm not doing that. I'm still choosing 8 hours.
Okay, so she doesn't...
I feel like none of the rewards have been sufficiently motivating to me.
Okay, we need to find out what motivates her.
That's true.
Okay,
just like we need to find out what motivates
outside of sleep. What motivates her more than sleep? Okay.
Oh, man.
How about this one? Would you rather get 8 hours of sleep the rest of your life...
Mm-hmm.
Or the United States legalizes marijuana?
I don't know. It could be a decent question. I don't know if that motivates her.
Yeah, probably not. Well, let's let her answer.
I'm thinking. No. So I feel like if we decriminalize marijuana, I feel like that would do good. No. It's a complicated one. Legalize or decriminalize?
Decriminalize.
Or 6 hours for the rest of my life?
Correct. Seven.
Push. I'd rather do seven. I normally get 7 hours.
So you would get 7 hours and decriminalize marijuana?
Yes. And then I don't regularly smoke pot, but I would say that decriminalization would do a lot of good for most people because it's getting people out of prison who are there for no reason.
Okay.
That would be my logic. So it's more of a moral thing that I'd be sacrificing half an hour a day of what I prefer to be sleeping.
Okay. Awesome. So we've got her one, so... Thank you for playing the game.
Thanks for playing our very loose game.
Yes, I'm usually... It's.
I would probably argue we probably got 6 hours of sleep and then wrote this game out. Is there such thing as, like, human hibernation?
You mean, like, for space travel purposes or just people...
Yeah, like in... No, not Passenger. Interstellar. You know,
like cryosleep?
Yeah.
Not yet. I thought you meant more, like, is there... Or do people tend to hibernate-ish? Yeah, and sure. That answer would be yes.
Okay.
A lot of people have seasonal affective disorder, which is kind of like hibernating in that you feel like you need more food, more sleep, less energy. So it seems like a hibernation carryover. But cryosleep has not yet been perfected, although there are many sleep scientists right now working on NASA to how to sleep in space, because it's harder than you think.
Because of gravity?
You got the gravity issue. You've got, like, so many sunrises and sunsets. There's lots of lights that are the wrong color in the space station.
Okay.
And, yeah, a lot of people just don't report good quality sleep in near weightless conditions.
So say we, like, can't go to sleep and we need to go to sleep.
Yes.
Right? So what's the most efficient way to fall asleep? I know... did my research. I know you have some sort of crazy technique that we can maybe...
If you can't, like, fall asleep within 20 minutes, you should get up and do something until you're tired. So you shouldn't be going to bed until you feel, like, physically tired, or like, ugh, I could really sleep now.
Okay.
So you don't want to be going to bed before you're ready to go to bed.
Okay.
You shouldn't be stimulating your brain with, like, phones and electronics and Villanova games before you go to bed either, because that'll make it hard to go to sleep.
Okay.
Couple tricks to help you get to sleep. Anything... Your room should be cold. It should be super dark. Often a hot shower before you go to bed is good.
Okay.
What it does is makes your blood go from your core to your skin. That drops your body temperature quite a bit. That can help you go to sleep.
Okay. Awesome.
Anything that drops your blood pressure quickly?
Okay.
Like an orgasm, that really helps?
Oh, sure. I was waiting for that one.
Yep, that's the one I always struggle. Like, can you say that on a college campus or not? I feel like most people know that.
We can say it on the back pocket.
Excellent.
We support that.
Well, that's great to know. I'm glad we finished with that.
Doing
cool.
Well, thank you thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We absolutely loved your presence and everything you had to do with it.
So. I'm excited.
Thank you, Doctor.
Tweet the link out when it's good.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
It's that time of year, March Madness. Lots going on. We got basketball, we got spring break, and we gave you guys some advice earlier about how to pick your brackets, and it's about a week in.
We're 2 days in.
Yeah.
However, we're hitting. We're hitting big time. Duke won. Princeton lost. The Saint School, St. Mary's, absolutely dominated first round.
Wildcats, of course, would beat a Commodore, for those of you who are picking mascots.
Yep, absolutely. And then we really haven't had any other surprises other than that. I mean, we're sitting here right in the middle of...
Trojans, of course, would beat
the
Mustangs.
Trojans versus Mustangs, yeah, that's a good gladiator battle. I mean, do your research. Trojans usually win that one.
Mm-hmm. What's Middle Tennessee's?
The Raiders, the Blue Raiders.
Of course, they're smushing Gophers.
Yeah. Goodness. Gophers are what? A fair, like, they're, what do you call those small, like, rat type animals?
Not the gopher son, but the gophers.
The gophers. We all do coin flip brackets in addition to our normal bracket to gauge how crazy the tournament is. And my coin flip bracket had Princeton and Jacksonville State in my final four, and that was busted. Oof. However, USC and Kentucky, as of right now,
are still in it.
Potentials for deep runs, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, potentials for deep runs.
Are they in your championship?
Yep, they're both in my championship,
okay.
So.
Still alive.
My bracket's still alive.
Anyone else here do a coin flip?
I did, and my coin flip bracket is actually pretty amazing. My Final Four, all still in it.
Wow.
All look solid. Arizona, great team. Oregon looked pretty solid.
Mm.
Sitting here watching them, one of them right now, South Carolina, is just murking Marquette. They look good.
GS
and then, Kansas State did lose, so I guess I have three left.
Okay, right on.
But,
it's not bad.
Coin flip bracket's a good way to go.
Is it a weighted coin?
No.
So now we're going to end the podcast how we always do. We're going to hit you with what we learned today and then our feel-good story. I can summarize what we learned today. We all went shopping over to Ragstock to grab some Hawaiians, because that's what you do when you go to tropical places. You all wear Hawaiians. And we learned that Quiznos still exists. We passed a Quiznos, and they're still around.
They were the connoisseurs of hot subs, and I think people forget that. And then everybody kind of took the hot sub idea and ran with it, and then some people are like, I still like my cold sub, so.
Jimmy John's.
Yeah.
Dane Mosier.
Dane Mosier. Eat fresh.
So Quiznos still around for all you people still looking for hot subs.
Love that. And then our feel-good story of the week actually just happened about 4 hours ago.
It was on a plane from Minneapolis to Charlotte, so roughly 2.5 hours.
Nothing crazy on this plane. We got 3x3, so there's A, B, C, D on one side of the aisle, and on the other side there's D, F. So me, Mark, and AI are sitting on one side, and on the other side we got Steve in the aisle, Doomer in the middle, who gets a little queasy for flights. Mm-hmm. And then we got our man Earl walking in. Shout out Earl. Know he's a listener. And anyone want to give a rundown of what Earl was looking like?
Let's tell how Earl came to sit in seat A. Jack, would you like to explain how
He came and sat next to Jack, but who is Earl first?
So we board on this plane, you know, as Declan said, we're all seated there. The only open seat in the entire row, A through F, is the one by the window next to me. So open seat by window, me, and then Steve. And Steve and I are talking, we're like, this would be great if nobody sat here, you know, can sprawl out, play card games, do whatever we want to do here. And all of a sudden, I mean, I love every type of human, every shape, size, whatever, but you're in a plane, it's small spaces, and we see this very large man. Very large man.
400 pounds.
400 pounds, yeah. Easy.
400 plus.
And he's walking down the aisle, and Steve and I slowly turn our heads, look each other straight in the eyes, and Steve goes, I really hope we don't have him sit at this open spot here. And I said, Steve, you couldn't have said it better. I really hope he doesn't sit here. It'd be very tough. And we see him, he's inching closer to us, and he ends up sitting, or stopping at the row, two rows ahead of us. And he's like, hey, I think I sit in that corner by the open seat by the window. So he squeezes back there. Me and Steve look at each other, give a little fist pump, we're like, we're good. You know, this guy's not sitting next to us.
He's in the clear, two rows ahead of you.
Yeah, he's in the clear. We see him. We see the two people next to Earl. He's named Earl. Everybody's
named Earl. We just coined him Earl. We don't know his actual name, but he was such an Earl.
One of those where you just look like the name.
Earl.
He looked like Earl.
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden, a lady comes up and goes, doesn't say Earl, but says, hey, sir, Earl, I think you're in the wrong seat. And at this point, Steve and I both had our headphones in, but she said, I think you're in 23. And me and Steve are sitting in row 23, and through our music, we perked up, looked at each other, saw the commotion up ahead, two rows, and we were like, no. Earl gets up, you know, comes back into our row, and he goes, hey, I think that's my seat. You know, I see Declan, I see Andrew and Mark over there. Their eyes just shouted out fear and wonder how this situation was going to play out.
Defeated.
Very defeatist.
And
it's just a very explosive man walking through that.
Steve and I got up.
I can't say explosive on a plane.
Steve.
That's so true.
It's true.
It's a good point.
Steve.
Poor hijack.
His Birkenstock was still stuck on his drawstring bag. He was flustered. I was about to cry.
Well, I could not bring my head up. I didn't want for other people to see the devastation on my face.
You guys thought you were going to lose me, and I got lost in the sauce. But what had happened is Earl got him back there, and Steve Am I wrong? Like, I had 60% of my seat, maybe.
60% of your seat.
Maybe.
Oh, dude, my God.
He was literally so big. He's on me.
He was so big.
You could tell he was so sorry.
He didn't say anything. I felt bad for him for a little bit because, like, but at the same time, he put a burden on me. He put him on me.
He put himself on me. On top of
on
you.
Your seat.
And if you, yeah, if you look at these pictures, too, it looks like you're just emerging from his right shoulder.
Yeah.
Just like you're just there.
So the feel-good story of the week is for Earl. We're thankful for him because he ended up getting the smaller person in the middle seat.
Thank God.
So Earl was able to take 60% of Jack's seat, and Jack was uncomfortable, but it could happen.
It could have been worse. He could have had a bigger person.
Yeah, me and Jack.
Someone over 5'8".
Yeah, so.
Earl was comfortable, though. This is another feel-good part of it. He was snoring. Like, he was sleeping good next to me.
Yeah, I had my headphones in.
Yeah.
On the opposite side, like, almost as far away as Earl as possible. It through my headphones, I just hear snoring, and I looked over at AI. I'm like,
come on, Earl.
Yo, Earl's passed out. And you're like, no, I think that's Doomer. And I just look over, and Doomer's, like, wide awake. I'm like, that ain't Doomer. That's Earl.
That's an Earl snore.
So, Earl had a good 2.5 hours, I think. He was just fine. Got to sit next to a smaller kid. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, plopped right in his seat and
ran.
Seat and a half?
Their seat.
Seat and a half, yeah. He owes you a little bit of money, I think.
He owes me a lot.
Yeah, a lot. I definitely think that airliners should
compensate.
Figure out a way to fix larger human beings.
I mean, it is American Airlines. You'd think they would have, like, the normal seats, and then they'd also have the obese seats.
The American seats.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Right.
So, like, the American premium seat is just for people over, like, 300 pounds.
Yeah. Okay, so there you have it. Podcast 5. Absolute pleasure. Roundtable experience.
Shout out, Earl.
We love you, Earl.
Thanks for having.
You love to surf.
We appreciate having Mark.
Steve
and Doomer all Doomer. Together.
Absolutely. Just Doomer a blast. We will be continuing to document our experience in Aruba and let you guys know how it goes. Love you.
See you on the plane.
Take care.
Take care.